Let me read a few verses from the book of Revelation. If you have a Bible, it's the last book in the Bible. I'm going to read the first six verses of the book of Revelation. The revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw, that is, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this testimony, and blessed are those of you tonight who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priest to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Now, typically on an evening like tonight, a Good Friday service, we spend a lot of time reading from the Gospels. Tonight, we're focused mostly on the Gospel of Luke. So it might seem unusual and maybe a little weird and odd that I'm reading from the book of Revelation. And I'm doing that for a couple of reasons. First of all, just to highlight that the main story or the main gist of the Gospels is also the main story, the main gist of the book of Revelation. That the New Testament is unified in that the central part of the story is Jesus, and the most central part of the story of Jesus is the death and resurrection of Jesus. I'm also reading tonight from the book of Revelation because I want to focus for a few moments on the second part of verse 5, chapter 1, verse 5, to him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood. So I'm hoping that tonight, as I'm talking, as we celebrate communion, as we sing and read from the Gospel of Luke, I'm hoping that we will see blood. Now, I know if you're anyone like me, seeing blood makes you squeamish, makes me squeamish. So tonight, I'm not going to present physical blood. I'm hoping with the eyes of our hearts or the eyes of faith, we will see the blood of Jesus Christ. We will see that his blood is not simply a death like some other death, but it is a death that brings hope and joy and forgiveness and freedom. Some of us might be thinking, well, let's not talk too much about death and dying and blood and suffering. I know sometimes the death and suffering of Jesus might make us embarrassed. And the Bible, in fact, knows that. So as the message of Jesus goes out into the world, Paul, who writes in 1 Corinthians, his letter to the people in Corinth, says, I know that the message of the cross is, it sounds weird, it sounds scandalous, it sounds foolish. But the message of the Bible is, it's through this foolish message that we get to things like peace and joy and love and hope. That there's no way for us to kind of skirt around the suffering and death of Jesus. Maybe we want to. Maybe we wish we could. Maybe we wish we could avoid it. But the message of the cross or the message of the gospel is a message that goes through this suffering and this death. And this is very much like other parts of our lives. That so often there is no glory or there's no joy without some measure of pain. Jesus said in the Gospel of John chapter 12 that just like a seed goes into the ground and it sort of dies, it has to do that in order for life to come. Another image the Bible uses is a mother in childbirth. Now, there has to be pain, there is agony, and then the child is born. Then there's life. In the same way, the suffering and death of Jesus is not just something in the story to avoid, but it's something that God has put into the story, into life, so that through it, again, peace and joy and freedom and forgiveness would come. Now, there's three things I want to note about the second part of Revelation 1, verse 5. The first thing I want to note, if you have your Bibles open or if the verse is on the screen, sorry to do that to you, Tom, but I just want to note that love and blood go together. And this is what the Bible does over and over again. It tells us blood is not something outside or unconnected to the love of God. The blood of Jesus is connected to his love. For God so loved the world that he sent the Son. Or a verse I was putting on my emails today to some people, Romans 5, verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. But not just generically God loves us, but Jesus Christ loves us in his death, in his dying. Paul will say in Galatians 2, verse 20, that he wants to know this Jesus Christ. He wants to live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Or our verse tonight, the one who loves us, to him who loves us, present tense, ongoing action, has freed us from our sins by his blood. That action in the past freed us from our sins by his blood, shows his continuing love for us. So tonight I just want to encourage us to see love and sacrifice together. And if we've ever experienced real love in our lives, we know that real love always, always, always has some kind of sacrifice in it. There cannot be genuine love without sacrifice. A second thing to note is that this love that leads to blood or death or sacrifice leads to freedom. So it's not just God loved the world that Christ would die, but it's Christ would die so that he would free us from our sins. And this is how the Bible speaks over and over again, that something happened, something extraordinary happened through the suffering and death of Jesus. That the Son of Man came to give his life as a ransom for many. Or Ephesians chapter 1 says that we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins. Or Colossians 1 says that through Jesus, God was reconciling to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Or 1 John 1 says that the blood of Jesus, his Son, the Son of God, purifies us from all sins. Or we might say like this tonight, as Pastor Tim Keller tweeted recently, Jesus came to die, to shed his blood, to take the cup of curse and punishment, so that we can, even tonight, raise the cup of blessing and love. This is what happens in the suffering, in the sacrifice, in the death and the blood of Jesus, this divine exchange. And then finally, I just want to note that the verse, Revelation 1, verse 5b and 6, is in the context of worship, or the context of doxology, or the context of giving glory to Jesus Christ. So the words say, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priest to serve his God and Father, to him, to Jesus, be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. So tonight, as we remember Jesus Christ, I'm hoping it's more than just remembering. I hope it turns into a heartfelt thank you, or a heartfelt glory, or a heartfelt hallelujah. I hope you don't leave tonight thinking, well, we sang, and this guy talked for a while, and we had this bread and juice. Interesting story. I hope we leave saying, thank you, God, for all that you did for me and for us through the blood, through the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ. Let me invite the serving elders to come forward, take a seat here in the front. We're going to celebrate this meal together. I found it interesting as Dale was reading from the Gospel of Luke. You know, for us, to be honest, the meal is, we have these nice trays here. You know, we always bring out these nice trays and everything's arranged. And we're going to, as we do so often, we just eat it and drink it and nothing much happens, right? But in that meal, there's a lot going on. Right? Someone's going to betray me. Someone's going to deny me even tonight. The disciples are jostling for who's the greatest here? Who's number one here? Is some of that happening among us tonight? I don't know. It always seems so nice as we do this in church, but we should be aware that maybe that supper in our hearts, those kind, the same kind of things may be happening. And Jesus, for me, incredibly, still celebrates the meal. Even though there's a denier, even though there's a betrayer, even though there's jostling for power, even though they don't quite all get it, he still celebrates the meal with them. And for us, at least for me, that is a comfort, because I want to believe. I come with faith, but sometimes our faith is rather feeble. So come with your feeble faith tonight. Come with your wrestlings and your doubts. Maybe not quite always understanding all that Christ and his death did for us, but come believing, wanting to believe that this death is a death for you, a sacrifice for you. So tonight, I just reiterate the words of Jesus as he took bread and said, this is my body. Every time you do this, remember me. And when he took tonight for us the juice and said, this is my blood. Every time you do this, do it in remembrance of me. Let's pray together. So Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus, we thank you for your sacrifice and your death and your blood. And we thank you for a few moments tonight. We can reflect on that and think about that. And then, Lord, receive our worship even in a few moments as we eat and drink. Receive our eating and drinking by faith as worship to you. Thanks to you for all that you've done for us. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.